We're glad you're here. Then the Lord has laid a particular message upon my heart for this service this morning. And if you have your Bible and would like to share the reading of the Word with me, if you access it by your smartphone, a tablet, or by the written Word, however you get to it, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. So we're going to be reading from Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning with the first verse. Jeremiah chapter 18, and we're going to begin with that first verse. Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning with verse number 1. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Jeremiah says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel, on the potter's wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And I'm going to stop reading right there. Ask that you bow your heads and let us pray once more and ask the Lord to bless his word and to anoint me to minister the word of God this morning. Father, we come into your presence, Lord, with a humble heart. Grateful for so many things. We're grateful this morning that when we gather in your name, you are in our midst. We are grateful this morning, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt as we have worshiped and as we have sang and as we have lifted up your name in our praise and in our singing. We come now to the reading of your word this morning. We come now, Lord, to the reading of your word and the expounding of the word of the living God. And I would pray, Lord, that you would help me and enable me. In my own self, I openly confess that I am inadequate. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would put your word in my mind and in my mouth. That you would let it come forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you would empower what is spoken, that you would let it fall upon ears that are touched of God to both hear and to receive. Let Jesus Christ be lifted up. Let him be glorified through the word. Let the people of God be edified and enriched through the word. Bless me now to be a blessing, for of my own self, I can do nothing. I pray you touch me with your anointing and make me an effective minister of your word this morning. And we will give the praise and we will give you the glory throughout eternity. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So I want to title my message this morning, or the word that the Lord has laid upon my heart this morning, I want to title it, The Hand, The Man, and The Plan. The Hand, The Man, and The Plan. As we begin here today, let me ask each of you a couple of questions. How many of you have ever felt like life was in your life, was in the process of starting over? Have you ever come to the place where You felt like you were at ground zero, brick one, and you were having to start completely over. We've all felt that way, haven't we? We've all been there. Have you ever felt as if your life has been broken in many pieces and you've been slam dunked through the goalpost of life? Anybody ever felt that way? I'm going to tell you right now, when the Spirit of the Lord began to lay this on my heart, I think there's some folks that feel that way right now. I think there's some folks that feel like that particular situation, they feel like their life is just literally spinning out of control. Like their heart has been broken in a myriad of pieces, and they feel as though they are just simply starting at ground zero all over again. And I will just tell you this morning that we have all at one time or another felt that way. We've all been there. And I submit to you this morning that sometimes when we come to that place in our life, that we feel as if we are broken and we are suffering in pieces and we feel like our life is spinning out of control. Sometimes it is nothing more than the potter putting us upon the potter's wheel. Sometimes I submit to you this morning that it just may be that we have been placed upon the potter's wheel. It may be that God is desiring to mold our broken pieces into something beautiful. It may be the pressure that we are feeling is nothing more than the tender hand of God pushing and prying and molding and making and shaping us into the vessel that he desires for us to be. Oftentimes we feel that pressure of molding and shaping and feel like life is spinning out of control. And stop and think about it for a moment this morning. It could be just the potter simply taking us, placing us upon his wheel and making something great out of us. A vessel is never complete without conforming to the potter's touch. A vessel cannot be completed unless it conforms to the will of the potter's hands. This morning, I want to tell you this morning that oftentimes when we are feeling as if we are starting over or our life is spinning out of control, it is nothing more than God taking us up in his hands and trying to mold us and shape us into the vessel that he desires for us to be. I don't know about you this morning, but how many of you have ever watched a potter as he is making his pottery or working on his craft or her craft? How many of you have ever watched a potter sit down at the potter's wheel? My wife and I, years ago, we had preached a revival in Tulare, California, down around the Bakersfield area, or Visalia area, and we had been there in a week's revival, and on the way home, her and I decided that we would just take a couple of days and deviate our trip and go through southern Utah into Mount Zion and see some sights and just take a little downtime. And while her and I were there, we stayed in a beautiful hotel right outside of the west gate, or the entrance, if you will, of Zion National Park. Was beautiful. And we were seeing the sights and just enjoying one another's company and enjoying a little downtime. And one day while we were there, we were out and about and we were driving along a little old country road going from Zion up to Kolob Canyon. And on the road, we're driving along and all of a sudden my wife flipped out. Ah, wait! I'm like, what? She said, did you see that pottery place right back there? I said, yeah. She said Sherry got some of the most beautiful pottery in Wyoming, of all places. This gentleman that had the pottery shop was traveling in Wyoming. John and Sherry happened to be in Wyoming, and they picked up the pottery. When they got it back home, my wife fell in love with it. I said, well, order you some. Well, she never did order her some, but we're driving down the road, and she said, that's the same guy. That's the same pottery house where Sherry got her pottery. So we turned around and we went back and we pulled in. And I remember when we pulled in and got parked in the parking lot, and the gentleman that owned the pottery place, he came out and greeted us. And he said, well, come on in, folks. He said, I was just about to sit down at the wheel. And so we went in, and he had all of these beautiful pieces of pottery that were there and for sale. And then he had some that had just been fired and had not yet been glazed, and just in all stages. But when he sat down at the potter's wheel, or when he sat down at the wheel, all he had was just a lump of clay. It was shapeless, formless. He sat down at the wheel, and all of a sudden the wheel begins to spin, and he began to work his craft. He began to use his fingers to mold that pottery as it spun on the potter's wheel. And I literally watched a vessel come to life out of absolutely nothing at his touch. I watched in amazement as he began to shape and begin to mold that pottery into the vessel that he wanted it to be. And all throughout the store, there were vases and there were bowls and there were all kinds of things that he had crafted with his hand. And I watched in amazement as he took and he formed that clay into the shape that he wanted it to be and that he desired for that vessel to become. And as we stood there and watching the scriptures that we have read this morning begin to come to my mind, and I begin to think what a profound effect and what a profound visual that it must have been for Jeremiah as he is called of God to go down to the potter's house. And God says to Jeremiah, I have a word that I want to deliver to my people. I have a word that I want to speak to my people. And I'm going to use the imagery of the potter in order to get my message across to you. So Jeremiah, the Bible says, he arises and he goes down to the potter's house. And once he gets there, he sees this potter sitting at the potter's wheel with a lump of clay. And he is forming it and shaping it. And as he's watching this visual, God begins to speak to him. And God says, he goes down to the potter's house, and God says to him, amen, amen, look at this setting of a visual that's before you. Amen. That potter is taking the clay in hand, and he takes the clay and he shapes and molds the vessel that he desires to be. That's the way you are in my hand. He's speaking concerning Israel. And the first thing that I would want you to note this morning is the fact that the clay had been marred. Look at verse number 3 and verse number 4 one more time. Jeremiah says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work upon the potter's wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred. It was marred in the hand of the potter. And so the potter made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter. Now, I want that to sink into your spirit this morning. The vessel is marred. Marred means that it was blemished. It was flawed. It was disfigured. It was tainted. It was devalued and imperfect. It was defective and damaged. And yet the potter does not throw the clay away. He simply takes it and makes it yet another vessel. I want you to understand this morning that our lives are defective and our lives are tainted with sin and our lives, amen, have become devalued. But I want to tell you, God does not want to throw us into the scrap heap of humanity, but God desires to take us in his hand and make us something beautiful for his glory. Amen. He doesn't discard the clay. He doesn't throw it away. Amen. In our society, if it's marred, we just chuck it and get a new one. Hello? God doesn't do that. Amen. I should say, thank God he doesn't do that. No, we have all been marred. We all carry scars. We all have been broken. We all feel at times as though our life is spinning out of control. But the potter does not throw away the clay. He simply takes the marred vessel and he continues to work with it, and he continues to endeavor to mold it and to make it yet again another vessel that can be useful in the hands of the potter. He does not throw it away. Jeremiah watches the scene that is before him as it unfolds. And God begins to speak. The word of God begins to come into Jeremiah's spirit. Then the word of the Lord, verse 5 and verse 6, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah hears God speaking as he's watching the potter mold and shape the clay. And God, he says, the word of the Lord came to me, and God says, O house of Israel, O house of Israel, cannot I, God is speaking, can't I do with you as this potter is doing with the clay? Says the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. So are you in my hand. Now, the imagery of the text this morning is this. The imagery of the text this morning is this. The nation of Israel can be seen in the vessel or in the clay. And God was saying, Israel, as you or as this clay is in the potter's hand, Israel, so are you in my hand. The potter is a picture of God. The potter is a picture of God the Father. God says in verse number 6, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And the final thing that I want to point out to you this morning from that text, amen, is the fact that the potter had a plan. The potter had a plan for the clay. Amen. Verse number 4 makes it clear. He says, so he made it again, yet another vessel as seemed good to the potter. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You may be feeling twisted and you may be feeling wounded and you may be feeling pushed this way and that way and as if life is spinning out of control. But I came to tell you this morning, God has you in the palm of his hand and God has a plan. Amen. Consider with me this morning three things. Amen. Number one, first of all, the hand. The context of this passage, God was speaking to a nation that he himself had formed. God was speaking to a nation that he himself had allowed to come into existence. He is speaking to a nation that he had delivered from Egypt's bondage. He is speaking to a nation that he literally led out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And he's speaking to a nation that he cared for and sustained for 40 years in the wilderness. And God is letting them know. He is saying to that nation, you have not fulfilled my purpose. You have been marred by sin and you've been marred by disobedience, but I'm not done with you. Amen. I'm not through with you yet. I haven't cast you, amen, aside, and I will not throw you upon the scrap heap. Amen. But I will remold you and I'll remake you and I'll make you a useful vessel in the hand of the potter. Amen, amen. Well, let me just share something with you this morning, a nugget of truth. Amen. Our life is in the hand of the potter. Our life is in the hand of the potter. Like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are we in God's hand. Amen. We may be broken and we may be mired or marred by sin, but God does not cast us aside and God does not cast us upon the scrap heap of humanity, but instead he takes our life and gently, lovingly begins to remold and begins to reshape and begins to make the vessel into something that will be useful for the kingdom of God. Some of you may be sitting here this morning thinking to yourself, amen, God can't do anything with me. Amen, God can't do anything with my life. I messed it up too much. Hey, I came to tell you this morning, with God, all things are possible. And brother, God can pick your life up and remold your life and reshape your life and make something beautiful out of it again. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. See, that's how I feel. I tell people I don't get loud to get anointed. I just get loud because I feel the anointing. It just goes all over me. Amen. God does not desire to throw any of us away. But his desire this morning is to pick us up, to remold and reshape and remake the vessel into something beautiful again. I am a living example of what I'm preaching this morning. I am a living example of what I'm saying this morning. There was a time, I haven't always been a preacher. Hello? I've told some folks this before. There was a time I was a good sinner. I mean, I was a good sinner. Amen. But you know what? I came to the realization one day that in all of my ways and in all of my pursuits, I was empty and unsatisfied. I used to travel around, and I've said this before, I used to travel around with a country rock group called Gary White and the Countrymen. Man, we traveled all over the United States playing. We started out in honky-tonks and bars, and then we started doing fairs and rodeos, and then we started doing front shows for some big-name folks. And I was making good money. Everybody patting you on the back said, you are headed in the right direction. And really, I wasn't. I came up empty. I came up unsatisfied in my spirit. And I was raised in a home where the gospel had been preached and Jesus had been elevated. And I knew what I was missing. I knew what I was missing. We did a country show where we did a show down in Grand Junction, Colorado, and Farron Young and Terry Gibbs and Tommy Overstreet and I don't know, a whole bunch of old-time country guys were there. And we were the opening act. We did that show, and then we were coming home to Emmett, Idaho, and we had a couple of weeks off. I was just simply going to go fishing. And on the way home, I started trying to find something to listen to on the radio station. And all of a sudden, my wife was with me. I mean, I had a good woman. I had money in my pocket. I had a little notoriety. You would thought that I was enjoying a measure of success, but I wasn't. And we're on the way home, and I'm trying to find something on the radio to listen to. And I heard this disc jockey right around Twin Falls. It was a gospel station. He said, "We're going to be playing a brand new album by the Henson family." And I'm like, "Oh, I know those guys. They used to come to my dad's church when I was a kid. I remember they." And I said, let's just listen for a little while and listen to them sing. And you know what happened? The more I listened, the more the Holy Spirit got to working on the inside. The more I listened, the more the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. The more I listened, the more marred I realized I was. The more lost I realized that I was. Amen. And I finally heard the voice of the Lord speak to my heart and said, "Son, are you happy?" And I had to confess, "Not really." And the Lord said, "Well, look, you've tried it your way. Why don't you come and follow me? Why don't you come and give your heart to me? I'll give you something that your soul is longing for. I'll pick you up out of the miry clay and the mired peat pile, and I'll make something out of you that'll be a blessing to the kingdom." Somewhere right between Twin Falls and Mountain Home, tears running down my face, I pulled off the side of the freeway and I bowed my head. I said, "Lord Jesus, if you'll come into my heart, amen, if you'll come into my heart and you'll make me anew, if you'll touch my life and satisfy my soul, amen, I will never go back to doing what I was doing. Amen, I'm here to tell you this morning, he will pick up the mired vessel. He will pick up the mired clay. He will pick up the broken pieces. He will pick up those, amen, who they feel like their life is spinning out of control. And he'll put you back on his potter's wheel, and he'll make something wonderful out of your life." Amen. We all this morning are in the potter's hand. Thank God he doesn't throw us away. Thank God he doesn't throw us away. But we are all in his hand. And God wants to take us and mold us and shape us into something useful for the kingdom of God. Job chapter 12 and verse 9, Job says, "What creature does not realize or does not know that it is the Lord's hand that has made it?" The life of every living creature, he says in verse number 10, the life of every living creature and the spirit in every human body are in his hands. Psalms chapter 31 and verse number 14, the psalmist said, "But I trusted in the Lord and said, thou art my God." Amen. "And my times and my seasons are in your hands." We are all in the hand of the Lord, and all he is looking for is a pliable clay that he can mold and make something wonderful out of it. Amen. The hand. We are in his hand this morning. We learn from the text that we are in the potter's hand, that he does not throw the clay away, but that he desires to make something useful of it. Something useful of it. I will be the first one to confess that I never ever dreamed in all of my life that he would call me to preach his word. I would just be happy to be saved, sit on the back seat and say hallelujah. But that ain't what he had in mind. That ain't what he had in mind. He wanted to mold me and shape me and make me into a vessel that he could use to speak his word. He does amazing things with so little. If you think I'm standing up here this morning preaching out of my intellect or out of my great charisma or out of my wonderful ability, amen, you are just out of your mind, because I don't have a lot of charisma. I don't have a lot of game. I'm not all that. I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. But what you see this morning is not of me. It's of God. He is the one that shaped me and molded me and made me what I am today. He molds and shapes our life into the vessel that he desires for us to be. The second thing that I want you to see, the first is the hand. We are in his hand. The second thing that I want you to see is the man. The vessel that is in the picture, or the vessel that is pictured in our text this morning, is in reality a man. It is in reality a man. In fact, it is the nation of Israel. But the principle is that God still molds and God still forms and God still shapes men and women into the vessel that he desires for us to be. For us who are here this morning, amen, that vessel, it is a picture of a man in the hands of the potter. And we are a picture of that marred vessel in the hands of God. And sometimes, amen, there are those that have a problem with the analogy of the potter and the clay. Because there are times when people think, I don't need anybody to mold me. I'm an intelligent person. I can figure it out all by myself. Amen. Maybe we are like the Israelites and we want to go our own way and do our own thing. Amen. But I want you to understand this morning that we are being molded and made out of something. Something is molding us. Something is shaping us. And the question is, what are we allowing to mold us? What are we allowing to shape us? What are we allowing to make us into the vessel that we have become? Are we being molded by our own thought processes? Are we being shaped by the opinions of others? Are we being formed by our culture and the trends and whatsoever is popular in the day that we live in? Amen. My point is this morning is that we are all being molded by something. What are we allowing to mold us? What are we allowing to shape us? We are the vessel in the hands of the potter, and God is desiring to mold us and make us like his dear son, Jesus. Think about that for a moment. We read about Jesus in history, and we read about Jesus in the Word, and he was this wonderful, awesome, powerful figure. And do you realize that it is God's desire to mold us and make us more like him, like Jesus? That's God's desire. You say, preacher, do you have word to back that up? I do. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29. It says, for whom he did know, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn of many brethren. What does that mean? It means that God desired to pick us up out of the scrap heap of humanity in our marred, broken condition and put us back on the potter's wheel and begin to make us and mold us and shape us and to conform us to be just like Jesus. How awesome is that? The new covenant picture is God molding us and shaping us to be more like Christ. Often that means that this transformation, amen, it means that that transformation, he has to push a little here in order to get the vessel to bulge out the right way. How many of you like it when God comes along and just kind of puts a thumb in your rib? Hello? You come along and we don't like to be conformed to something. We kind of like who we are. Can you say amen? Hello? But he comes along and puts us on the potter's wheel and desires to conform and shape and draw us into the image of his son, Jesus. He desires to mold us and make us like Christ. The only thing that we have to do, beloved, is be pliable. Be pliable. You can only work with clay if it's pliable. We have to be yielded. We have to be willing. We have to submit. Well, you had me up to there, Brother White, but when you got to that submit part, I'm not so sure. Well, let me just tell you, you have to submit to the potter's touch. You have to submit to the potter's hand. Well, I don't like the direction that he's pointing. I don't like the direction that he's pushing. Who are you as a vessel to tell the potter what to make? Hello? Can you imagine a vase on the potter's wheel looking at the potter and saying, I don't want to be a vase. I want to be a mug. It ain't up to you. It ain't up to me. It's up to the potter. But we need to remain pliable and let him mold and make what he desires for us to be. That takes yielding and that takes submission and that takes giving in to the will of God. That takes crucifying ourselves and our flesh and our desires and picking up our cross daily and following after Jesus. That means that we put aside, amen, our way and start walking in his way. All right, move on. The hand, the man, and now we get to the plan. So what is the plan of the potter? To create something useful for his service. Israel had failed. And so he was saying, I will take the clay and reform it and remake it and transform it into something beautiful. I came to tell you this morning that when we are going through our trials, when we are going through difficulties, and yes, even when we go through failure, amen, that we are in the potter's hand and the potter has a plan. We may not like the trial. We may not enjoy the failure. We may not enjoy the difficulty. We may not enjoy the brokenness. But I came to tell you this morning that God takes what we are and where we are, and he shapes us into something that is useful for his glory and that will elevate and magnify his purpose. The truth of the matter is that out of our transformation, or that our transformation often involves brokenness. Let me say that again. Often our transformation, it brings brokenness, or it involves brokenness. I remember watching that potter in southern Utah as we stood there in his shop. And he began to make a vessel and something went wrong and he just flattened it. Packed it all up, pounded it out, and started over. Because it wouldn't conform to his plan. Sometimes our transformation comes from brokenness. Sometimes the potter has to cause us to start at ground zero again. So that he can fulfill the plan, the purpose that he has for our life. And I came to tell you this morning that in the midst of all of our brokenness and in the midst of our failure, if we will stay pliable in the hands of the potter, he still knows our name and he still knows our destiny. And he has a plan, not just for Pastor Gary, but he has a plan for every single one of you if we will just remain yielded to the potter's touch. God has a plan for all of us. All of us, no one excluded. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10 says, God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that he has purposed for us to do. God has a purpose and a plan for you. He wants to mold us and shape us and make us like Christ so that we can fulfill his divine destiny in our life. So we can fulfill the purpose for which he has created us. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. There is nothing more fulfilling than getting in your purpose and living it. There is nothing more satisfying than getting in your purpose and then just walking in it. Hello? And that's what God desires for all of us. He wants us to be fulfilled and filled with joy. And we'll never find complete joy until we begin to walk in his purpose. Until we begin to walk in his destiny for our life. If you're here this morning and you feel as though your life is spinning out of control and you feel like you are starting from ground zero again, I submit maybe he just has you on the potter's wheel. It may be a new start. It may be starting over again. And there's some good examples of that in the Word of God. Moses. Did you know that Moses was a murderer? It's true.
Moses?
Moses killed an Egyptian and then ran. And you know what? God saw Moses on the backside of the wilderness feeding Jethro's sheep, his father-in-law's sheep. And God said, well, I know that vessel, I know that chunk of clay right there. I know it's marred and messed up, but I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to make it a deliverer. I'm going to make him a lawgiver. I'm going to make him someone that can lead my people out of Egypt's bondage. And you know the story. God tells Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And out of ashes, out of a marred vessel, out of a ruined pot, comes this deliverer, comes this great man of God that lifts up his staff and the Red Sea parts. Comes this wonderful man of God where God gave him the law to give to the people. You know why? Because God started over with him. How about Peter? Do you remember the Apostle Peter? The night came for Jesus to be crucified. And Jesus said, before this night's over with, you're going to deny me. Peter said, well, everybody else might, but I'm not going to. Not me. Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, before the rooster crows three times tonight, you'll deny me three times. And that's exactly what happened. Peter, standing around the fireplace while Jesus was at his trial, somebody said, oh, you know him. Peter said, I don't know the man. I don't know who he is. And three times he denied who Jesus was. And the rooster crowed. And the Bible said that Jesus just simply turned and looked at Peter. I wonder what kind of a look that must have been. And I can tell you it was a look of love because it broke Peter's heart. And Peter went out and repented. And God said, okay, I'm going to take that marred vessel that denied me three times. I'm going to pick him up. I'm going to remold and I'm going to remake him and I'm going to make him a powerful voice for the gospel. So much so that the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that it was Peter who stood on the day of Pentecost and preached to those that were there, and 3,000 souls were added to the church. Amen. That same book of Acts said that Peter would go walking down the street and his shadow would just fall on the sick and the sick would be raised up. That's pretty amazing stuff. Amen. Let me just tell you, God can take a marred, broken vessel and start over with it and make something wonderful out of it. God can take a broken vessel that's been marred with sin and marred with shame and make something beautiful out of it again. Some of you feel like your life is spinning out of control and your life has been broken in pieces. I submit to you this morning that it is just the potter putting you upon the potter's wheel, desiring for you to remain yielded so that he might make a useful vessel unto honor for his glory. And we have a choice. We have a choice this morning. We can forsake the potter's wheel, or we can say, all right, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done in my life. I encourage you this morning, allow the potter to mold your life and make your life into a vessel that is useful for his kingdom. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Maybe you are here this morning and you would be willing to admit to yourself, I've not been very pliable. I've not been very yielding. I've not been submitted to the will of God. This marred vessel that I am, it may be in his hand, but I've not been willing to conform to his will. I encourage you this morning, allow God to mold and to make and create of your life something wonderful. If you're tired of what you have got in life, then stop doing what you're doing. If you want something different in your life, then do something different. If you want destruction and ruin and hardship, then continue in sin and in evil, because the ways of the wicked, the ways of the wicked are hard. But if you desire for God to make something beautiful in your life and bring joy that's unspeakable and full of glory and happiness into your life and a reason for living, then allow him to mold you and make you and shape you and make you the vessel that he desires for you to be. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, your Son, we are grateful this morning, Lord, that you are the potter and that we are the clay. We ask you to mold us and make us into the instrument and the vessel that you would have us to be. Help us here in this place this morning, Lord, to surrender our will to your will. Our life to your plan. Speak to every heart this morning, I would ask, O Lord. Speak to every heart. I pray in the name of Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I haven't been very yielded to the potter's touch." God sees your hand, yes. And God sees yours and yours and yours and yours and yours, yours, yours. God sees your hand, young lady. I haven't been very yielded to the potter's touch. I'm tired of my brokenness. I'm tired of what my way of living has brought. I want him to remold me and remake me and reshape me and make me what he would have me to be. Are there any more hands? You'd slip it up. Say, "That's me. That's me." Hands been lifted all over the building. Would you please stand to your feet this morning? Hands lifted up all over the building this morning. Once more, would you bow your head? Just slip your hand right up toward heaven. This is a personal thing between you and Jesus. I want you right now just to say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for not casting me away. In my marred, broken, devalued, disfigured condition, thank you for not casting me off. You have every right to. You have every right to. But thank you for keeping me in your hand and on the potter's wheel. And now, Lord, I ask you to help me to yield my life, yield my heart, surrender my will to your plan, your touch, your way as I move forward in life. Mold me and make me and shape me into the vessel that you would have me to be. Mold me and shape me into the vessel that you would have me to be. I ask it in Jesus' name. Touch me, Lord. Don't let me leave like I came. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my will to you. I yield my life to you. Like the clay in the potter's hand, you make me what you would have me to be. In Jesus' name.